Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Life can be chaotic. If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment add to the chaos. Use ShipStation instead. With ShipStation, you never have to worry about shipping and fulfillment again. Whether you're running a business out of your garage or you have multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your business's growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating repetitive tasks. Plus, you'll save money with the best shipping rates from global carriers. ShipStation's industry-leading features help you deliver a better customer experience. They'll get accurate and faster shipments, along with automated tracking updates with your branding. And with up to 88% off UPS and USPS rates, and up to 90% off FedEx rates, ShipStation is the fastest and most affordable way to ship. Calm the chaos. Switch to ShipStation today. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
When the OPI realized they were up against a deadly calculating bomber who seemed impossible to catch, they created the Unabomb Task Force, a specialized unit dedicated to tracking down the Unabomber. This wasn't just any case. The stakes were too high and the threat too severe. With an initial profile based on sparse clues, the FBI crafted strategies to try to unmask this hidden mastermind. Early evidence hinted at a brilliant yet disturbed mind, and every new discovery pushed agents closer to understanding their target. This investigation was a roller coaster marked by breakthroughs that brought them close to an answer, only to be thwarted by frustrating dead ends and unexpected missteps. Along the way, the Unabomber seemed to revel in taunting the authorities, manipulating their every move, and adding layers of psychological warfare to his campaign. His infamous manifesto was just one of the tactics he used to disrupt their progress. The FBI faced enormous pressure as the years went on, working to maintain focus as the case remained unsolved. The hunt for the Unabomber wasn't just an investigation. It was a battle of wits, a complex game where every misstep had costly consequences. In this episode, we'll uncover how close the FBI came to losing this 17-year pursuit, from near misses and dead ends to a final series of breakthroughs that changed everything. You'll see the tension, the mind games, and the relentless determination that went into capturing one of America's most infamous criminals. Stay with us to find out how this intense manhunt almost became the FBI's greatest unsolved case. So what made the Unabomber such a significant threat that an entire task force was dedicated to his capture? The Unabomber, known in real life as Ted Kaczynski, posed an unprecedented threat that required the full focus of federal resources, culminating in the formation of the Unabomb Task Force. His unpredictable methods, ideological motivations, highly personalized attacks created a sense of pervasive danger that stretched far beyond individual targets. Each bomb represented a carefully constructed message, and his ability to strike fear across America ultimately demanded an entire task force dedicated solely to its capture. One of the Unabomber's most terrifying tactics was the unpredictability of his attacks. Unlike more conventional criminals who target specific individuals or groups for direct personal reasons, Kaczynski's targets included a wide array of people and institutions, universities, airlines, and corporate offices that seem unrelated on the surface. This lack of a clear pattern left the public and investigators in a constant state of suspense, wondering where he might strike next. His bombs arrived unexpectedly in the mail, making everyone from academics to corporate workers potential targets, heightening fear with each new attack. The random nature of his targets created a public sense of vulnerability that was deeply unsettling. as Kaczynski didn't rely on proximity or familiarity with his victims, he could strike anywhere, anytime, leaving recipients unsure whether the next package or envelope could be their last. This ambiguity contributed to a sense of nationwide paranoia that extended far beyond the individuals he injured or killed, creating an atmosphere where no one felt. Hello, welcome back to the True Crime Never Sleeps show. I'm your host, Larry Lease, as always. And this week, on another episode of the Unabomber Chronicles, we dive into the 17-year manhunt for Ted Kaczynski. Of course, before we do that, you can keep the conversation going in the comments section below and give me your thoughts on this case. And with that, let's dive into our What made Kaczynski especially dangerous was that he wasn't just lashing out randomly. He had a highly focused ideological motive. Through his anti-technology stance, Kaczynski saw himself as an activist on a mission against the modern world. His bombs were his way of expressing his rage against industrialization, acknowledging the societal shifts that he believed were destroying humanity's freedoms. Each attack was his message to society, and his targets reflected the very institutions he believed were promoting harmful advancements. In targeting places of higher learning, transportation systems, and corporate headquarters, Kaczynski was not simply committing acts of terror, he was symbolically striking at the pillars of modernity. He specifically aimed to disrupt technological progress and challenge the institutions driving it, hoping his attacks would lead people to question their own dependence on technology. This level of calculated ideology set him apart from other criminals. He was not seeking financial gain or personal revenge, but instead promoting an agenda that threatened to inspire others. By creating fear around technology's role in society, he posed a broader threat to the stability of modern institutions, an aim that intensified the FBI's determination to stop him. As Kaczynski's bomb-making skills developed, his devices became more sophisticated, lethal, and difficult to trace, reflecting an increase in both technical capability and intent to harm. His early bombs were relatively simple, but over the years, he evolved his methods to incorporate advanced materials and timing mechanisms. Later bombs included intricate wiring, multiple triggers, and shrapnel designed to inflict maximum physical and psychological harm. His evolving tactics made it clear that he wasn't just experimenting, he was perfecting a craft with the intent of causing lasting damage. This escalating lethality Kaczynski's bombs made him an especially urgent threat. Each new bomb, the risk of mass casualties grew, putting increasing pressure on the FBI to act quickly. His bombs weren't just deadly, they were carefully designed to be undetectable until they detonated, heightening the sense of helplessness. Excuse me. His bombs weren't just deadly, they were carefully designed to be undetectable until they detonated, heightening a sense of helplessness among potential targets and making him seem like a ghost, impossible to predict or stop. Kaczynski's attacks did more than just injure or kill the victims, they spread a palpable sense of fear across the country. He effectively transformed routine actions like opening a package or entering an office into potential life or death situations. Universities and corporations across the country implemented safety protocols, warning staff and students to be cautious about incoming mail and suspicious packages. This constant vigilance affected the morale of countless people, casting a shadow over daily life and instilling a sense of dread, even in those far removed from the actual incidents. The psychological impact extended beyond the fear of physical harm. Kaczynski's campaign pushed people to question the safety and reliability of the institutions that form the backbone of modern society. When an organization was targeted, employees felt the effects acutely, experiencing unsettling fear that disrupted their work and eroded their sense of security. Each bombing reaffirmed Unabomber's presence, making people feel as though he could strike anywhere at any time without warning. The Unabomber's ability to evade capture for nearly 17 years set him apart as one of the FBI's most elusive adversaries. He took extensive precautions to avoid leaving any traces behind, constructing his bombs with commonly available materials that were impossible to track to a single source. Living off the grid in a remote Montana cabin, Kaczynski had no phone lines, digital records, or connections to the outside world that could lead authorities to him. His intentional isolation rendered him virtually invisible to conventional surveillance methods, making it incredibly difficult for the FBI to build a viable suspect profile. Additionally, Kaczynski's decision to act alone meant there were no accomplices or informants who could accidentally leak information. His independence was one of his greatest advantages in staying hidden, as there was no one to betray him or reveal his whereabouts. This made him an almost mythical figure, one who seemed untouchable and all the more threatening as a result. The increasing frequency of Kaczynski's attacks raised the stakes for the FBI. Each new bombing underscored the immediate need to stop him. Every device he mailed or placed had the potential to injure or kill multiple people. And with each passing year, the possibility of a mass casualty event loomed larger. The FBI knew that failing to capture the Unabomber meant risking the lives of many innocent people. The sense of urgency to catch him grew as Kaczynski's devices became more sophisticated. Each bomb revealed a disturbing commitment to improve his methods, indicating that he was not planning to stop until he achieved his ideological goals. The pressure was constant, and every bombing served as a grim reminder of the stakes involved and the lives that could be saved by capturing him. The Unabomber was not just an isolated criminal. It was a symbol of terror that haunted both the public and the FBI for nearly two decades. The Unabomber's 17-year campaign was unlike anything the FBI had faced before. Ted Kaczynski, a former mathematics prodigy and reclusive intellectual, emerged as a one-man terror cell with an ideological vendetta against modern technology and industrial society. Its attacks weren't random acts of violence. They were carefully calculated assaults on the very foundations of American progress. His unique approach, unpredictability, and ability to evade capture for so long made him an extraordinary threat to public safety and a lasting challenge to law enforcement. Kaczynski's motives weren't about revenge or financial gain. They were deeply ideological, rooted in a firm belief that technology and industrialization were dehumanizing forces that eroded human freedom. He saw himself as waging a crusade against what he viewed as the destructive influence of technology on society, influence that he felt robbed people of their autonomy and stifled their natural instincts. This belief made him far more dangerous than a typical criminal, as he was on a mission he viewed as morally justified and, in his mind, vital to the future of humanity. Kaczynski's targets were chosen to send a message: universities, airlines, and corporate offices. These were not random picks, but symbols of what he perceived as a society enslaved to technological advancement. Each bomb was a statement against institutions promoting research, industrialization, and technological growth. Specifically targeting such places, he challenged society to confront his ideology, forcing people to question the very institutions they relied on for progress and security. This motivation gave him a near-religious zeal, making it unlikely he would stop on his own, thereby intensifying the urgency to capture him. One of Kaczynski's most effective tactics was his ability to instill fear in everyday life. Unlike crimes with a clear motive or specific demographic target, his bombings had an air of randomness that made everyone feel like a potential victim. His bombs arrived in seemingly innocuous packages and were sent through the mail, a system typically associated with safety and routine. This tactic alone heightened the terror of his campaign. Every time someone opened a package at a university or corporation, they were reminded they could be the next target. This fear infiltrated workplaces, academic settings, and even homes, creating a national state of paranoia. For many activities like opening mail or entering an office became sources of anxiety. Universities and corporations implemented strict safety protocols, including screening packages, issuing warnings, and training staff to spot suspicious items. The Unabomber succeeded in making people question the safety of even their most mundane aspects of their lives. Kaczynski's ability to remain hidden and adapt his methods was one of the key factors that made him so dangerous. He constructed his bombs with readily available materials, meticulously chosen to avoid leaving any forensic traces. Unlike typical criminals who might use identifiable tools or materials, Kaczynski's devices were deliberately untraceable, often built with everyday items that couldn't be tied to specific stores or locations.
Hey, football fans! BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's Longest Touchdown Jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted. Restricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
His bombs were sophisticated, yet deceptively simple, a testament to his skill and knowledge of chemistry and mechanics, allowing him to build deadly devices without the need for specialized parts. Kaczynski's decision to live off the grid in a remote Montana cabin gave him an additional layer of protection. He had no phone, car, or modern conveniences, meaning there were no digital records or credit card transactions that could reveal his identity. His isolation made him nearly invisible to the typical surveillance methods available to law enforcement at the time. By operating entirely alone, like we mentioned, he avoided the risks of leaks, informants, or associates who might end up being betraying him. This independence made him an extremely difficult target, forcing the FBI to rely solely on the clues left behind in his bombs and letters, which were carefully designed to reveal nothing about his location. Kaczynski didn't just evade capture, he actively manipulated the investigation to his advantage. His bombs were deliberately marked with the initials FC, a cryptic calling card that stood for Freedom Club. This mark taunted law enforcement, reinforcing the idea that each bomb was part of a larger plan. Kaczynski's manifesto, Industrial Society and Its Future, was a masterstroke in psychological warfare. By demanding that it be published, he forced the FBI to grapple with ethical questions and public scrutiny, drawing attention to his cause on a national scale. The manifesto wasn't just a statement. It was Kaczynski's attempt to gain control over the narrative, turning the investigation into a stage for his ideology. He used it as a bargaining chip. Threatening to continue bombing if it wasn't published. This strategic move shifted some of the power into his hands, allowing him to dictate terms. By engaging the FBI in this way, Kaczynski turned the manhunt into a high-stakes chess game, forcing investigators to consider his demands even as they search for him. The manifesto ultimately served as the key to his capture, but not before he succeeded in drawing nationwide attention to his views, throwing law enforcement into a complex ethical dilemma. Kaczynski's actions had a ripple effect that transformed him into a symbol of ideological extremism in America. Anti-technology stance and relentless attacks on institutions associated with progress challenged society's acceptance technology, and industrialization. His unique position as both an intellectual and a terrorist attracted public fascination and fear, and he became a figure that represented the dark side of modern progress. From the beginning, the FBI faced an unusually challenging adversary, Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. Without a single piece of forensic evidence and only his bombs and letters as clues, agents were forced to rely on behavioral profiling and circumstantial evidence to understand the mind behind the attacks. Excuse me. The earliest profiles and theories about the Unabomber reveal how agents tried to piece together his identity based on public components, target selection, and communication style, ultimately building a psychological portrait that was as elusive as it was chilling. The first significant insight into the Unabomber's personality came from bombs themselves. Each device was handcrafted, featuring intricate yet primitive construction methods, like we mentioned, using wood, nails, and scraps of metal. Despite their makeshift appearance, the bombs demonstrated a high level of craftsmanship, suggesting a meticulous, detail-oriented personality. Agents deduced that the bomber likely had engineering knowledge or experience with tools, although he was clearly self-taught. This indicated someone who was intelligent and resourceful, skilled enough to assemble complex devices with limited resources. The bomb designs also hinted at an individual who was obsessive and patient. Each bomb was carefully constructed to achieve maximum effect, suggesting someone who took great pride in his work, perhaps even saw his devices as a twisted form of art. His willingness to experiment and refine his techniques over time implied a methodical mind, someone willing to wait and adapt until he achieved his desired outcome. These early observations allowed the FBI to start building a profile that portrayed the Unabomber as an isolated, highly intelligent individual with a strong drive for control and a potential for violent extremism. With a profile that hinted at an anti-technology motive and a knowledge of bombmaking, the FBI began to suspect that the Unabomber might be associated with academia or industry, possibly as a disgruntled professor, student, or former employee in a technical field. This theory seemed logical given his choice of targets and the possible connections he might have to universities or research institutions. Investigators combed through academic institutions looking for anyone with a history of grievances, unusual behavior, or radical beliefs. This line of thought, while reasonable, ultimately became a misstep in the investigation. By focusing heavily on individuals within the academic and industrial sectors, the FBI narrowed their search to those with potential insider access to its target locations, which distracted them from their broader search. They failed to consider the possibility that the Unabomber might be an outsider, a person driven by ideological beliefs rather than any specific connection to these institutions. This insider theory led to multiple dead ends and hindered progress, keeping investigators from focusing on the potential for a more isolated, reclusive suspect like Kaczynski. The Unabomber's letters provided additional clues that shaped the FBI's understanding of his psychological profile. His communications were articulate, persuasive, and filled with complex ideas, indicating a highly intelligent individual with a talent for writing. The letters often conveyed frustration with society's direction and demonstrated a sophisticated grasp of language, suggesting a background in academia or at least self-education in fields like literature or philosophy. The tone and style of his writings painted him as someone deeply dissatisfied with the state of the world, viewing himself as uniquely capable of understanding and addressing society's flaws. The FBI saw this as a classic sign of a personality with an inflated sense of purpose, someone who felt morally justified in taking extreme measures to achieve his goals. His writings expressed not just anger, but also profound contempt for societal norms, technology, and individuals who embrace them, revealing his radical opposition to the technological world and modern society. The FBI's investigation into the Unabomber was among the longest and most complex manhunts in American history, spanning nearly 17 years. It involved a wide range of investigative strategies, countless hours of analysis, and several key missteps that delayed progress. The case required both traditional detective work and innovative profiling techniques, all while facing the constant pressure of preventing the next bomb from striking. By delving into the strategies employed and the errors made along the way, it's clear how challenging it was for a law enforcement to keep pace with such a cunning and meticulous adversary. One of the most powerful aspects of Kaczynski's psychological strategy was his use of silence. Despite his demands and his letters, he remained otherwise silent, operating in complete secrecy, and refusing to reveal any details about his identity or location. By staying hidden and avoiding public exposure, Kaczynski created an aura of mystery that amplified the FBI's frustration. This silence acted as a psychological weapon, intensifying his image as an almost mythic figure who could strike without warning, evade capture, and manipulate the media and law enforcement from afar. This strategy was particularly effective in maintaining a sense of power over the FBI. Each bombing combined with Kaczynski's silence made it clear that he was in control of the situation. The lack of personal details and the absence of a physical presence kept investigators guessing, forcing them to chase abstract profiles and ideas rather than a tangible suspect. Kaczynski's silence allowed him to maintain an intimidating persona that weighed heavily on the minds of investigators, reminding them that he remained an invisible threat, always one step ahead. The Unabomber's psychological tactics took a profound toll on the FBI agents assigned to the case. Each bomb and letter not only represented a physical threat, but also a challenge to the FBI's ability to maintain control. Agents had to confront the reality that despite their best efforts, Kaczynski was outmaneuvering them on multiple fronts. The taunting letters, the manifesto's intellectual posturing, and his evasive tactics all contributed to a growing sense of frustration, and at times, helplessness within the Unabomb task force. Agents experienced mounting pressure to bring him to justice, not only to stop the bombings, but to regain control over a case that seemed to be slipping through their fingers. Kaczynski's ability to psychologically manipulate his pursuers, forcing them into ethical quandaries, making them feel intellectually challenged, affected morale and motivation. The lengthy pursuit, combined with the mental chess game he orchestrated, created a level of fatigue that compounded the difficulty of solving the case. When the manifesto was finally published, it was not through traditional investigative methods, but a family connection that led to Kaczynski's eventual capture. Ted's brother, David Kaczynski, recognized the tone and arguments in the manifesto as similar to Ted's, leading him to contact the FBI. While this was a breakthrough for law enforcement, Kaczynski likely understood the risks of publishing his work, but saw it as necessary to disseminate his ideology. In a final act of psychological complexity, he risked exposure to elevate his message, effectively betting his freedom on the power of his ideas. In the end, this decision proved to be his undoing. However, the fact that Kaczynski was willing to risk exposure showed the depth of his ideological commitment. To him, the manifesto's publication was worth the risk if it meant influencing public thought. This final move underscored the psychological game he had been playing all along, challenging the FBI and society to confront his ideas, even if it meant sacrificing his anonymity. Excuse me. The FBI's nearly two-decade pursuit of the Unabomber was a relentless struggle against an adversary who operated from the shadows, remaining out of reach while his bomb struck fear across the nation. The Unabomber task force faced countless obstacles, frustrating dead ends, the psychological toll of an unseen enemy, and ethical challenges that tested the resolve. Yet through perseverance, innovation, and a willingness to engage in Kaczynski's psychological chess game, they ultimately prevailed. With his capture, the mystery ended, but his ideology, as expressed in his writings, continued to resonate, leaving a lasting impact on public discourse. Next week, we'll dive into the Unabomber's infamous manifesto. We'll explore the beliefs that fueled his campaign, examining the anti-technology philosophy and critique of modern society that he believed justified his actions. Join us as we decode the manifesto, unpacking Kaczynski's radical views, and considering the influence his ideas have had on discussions of technology and progress to this day. Now give us a thumbs up if you like our video, hit that subscribe button down below, the bell notification to be notified of future videos, and of course, let me know your thoughts in the comment section below. And if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. As always, your support helps the channel grow, upgrade our equipment, bring in new hosts, be able to pay them, and of course, take this show on the road. As always, you can find us on all major podcast platforms, including Good Pods and Spotify. And with that, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.